Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. True Wealth, or Coins Plus, is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. Most of you are probably aware we've been doing this for a little while, buying and selling metals and treating customers right, working with Christians. We're Christian-owned and operated. I think that's important. I think what's even more important, folks, to be honest with you, is who you deal with. I was trying to think today where I found this. I wish I could remember. I was surfing online, and I ran into this, you know, website of, you know, somebody trying to sell you every kind of investment imaginable. Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and cryptocurrency IRAs, and of course some precious metal stuff. But they said their staff has a total combined experience of 30 plus years experience in the industry. Folks, I alone have almost that. It's that when you can really get fooled. When one of the things they do is you know, they'll add together everybody's experience and say, this is a total combined amount of experience we have. Folks, there was a time we used to say we had over 100 years of combined experience when we had a little larger crew, just because business was a little more brisk. But, you know, I've got, you know, well over 20 years experience. Mike and Court both have well over 10 years experience. My son, who is here, has, you know, literally like 20 years experience. And then I can go down the list. Dennis has literally probably got 50 years experience. He's like 68, retired principal, started collecting when he was a kid, you know. So just the simple point of that is, folks, there's a nice website out there. I know my listeners are smarter than that, but I mean, people go out there and they start doing some research and up pops a website, a pretty website. And I'll admit they're good, and they have your little investment packages and all this stuff, which we've done a terrible job at. We don't have all these full color brochures and all this stuff. And, it works. I mean, it obviously works, but, you know, cryptocurrency is, you know, here's Bitcoin price plunges after cryptocurrency exchange is hacked. Security fears rise as South Korea's coin check loses about 28 million pounds of virtual currency. If you're still into cryptocurrency, which I doubt many of you are, a bunch of you don't even know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. Stay there. That's a good place to be. If you're into cryptocurrencies, get out. Folks, they're paper. They're an absolute concoction of the human mind. They have value because of an algorithm of a computer program. In other words, the work energy that gives them value is the work energy of a computer. Okay, so if I create a computer, and then that computer sits there and runs for 5 years, and I make $1 billion worth of Bitcoin. I mean, what is that? That's not my work. It's not real money. It's not real work energy. When we do what God says and what God created, we have real gold and real silver, and we have the real metal. And I mean, we have hard assets. We have true wealth, like God called it. God said it is. You know, we've talked about God said there's gold in, you know, second chapter of Genesis in the land of Havilah. He said gold is good, very good. He used the highest word rabbinically. He goes on later and tells us Abram was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. Okay. If it was good enough for Abram, probably good enough for you. And, you know, and it's always... Everything was traded. You know, there's all these stories I'm looking through here. Everything he is, you know, about the Lord has greatly blessed my master so that he has become rich and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and servants and maids and camels and donkeys. It's interesting, isn't it, that when God gets his hands on somebody, he blesses them. And he blesses them financially too, doesn't he? I mean, I'm not a prosperity preacher. I'm not a preacher, but I'm also not a poverty preacher, as I heard a guy say. I mean, God does good things. God is a good God. God is a loving God. God is a forgiving God. God is a powerful God. God is a redemptive God. I mean, I can tell you, folks, the things he's done in my life to redeem me, to forgive me, to cleanse me, to elevate me, to give me gifts, to, you know, to just show love. There's times life gets tough. I think we all know that. And God is, it's, you know, your faith. You've got to believe. You've got to believe that God is there and that he will defend you and he will stand behind you and he will bless you and he wants you to be blessed, but he will also put us through tremendous trials. Cancer, people struggle with cancers and people struggle with all kinds of financial trials, and God will take us to the brink where we just don't think we can take anymore. And then he'll redeem us. You know, he'll put so much stuff around us, so much pressure on us sometimes, that there's just nowhere to turn. And those are the times that God works the most. And those are the times that we have to believe he's a good God. Redemption's coming. And if we put our faith in him and we trust in him and we wait on him, he will do a great work in us. Okay, and that's basically it. So I guess I got there from the fact that God blesses us financially. He does, and I'm not, like I said, I mean, it's stupid that I have to apologize every time I say that. But, you know, why did God create wealth? Why did God create gold and silver? Well, there's got to be a reason, right? And what is the reason? I mean, obviously, because it's a significant way to maybe control or regulate people, to bless and unbless, and, you know, I'm not sure. None of us are for sure why God created a monetary system, but without a monetary system, at least from the way we look at it, things wouldn't make sense. So you have to be able to exchange goods and items to eat and to live and all that. So a barter system or a system of compact wealth works very well. And God said, of all the elements, God said gold is the one. You know, gold is a very unique element. It's infinitely divisible. It's beautiful all the time. It doesn't corrode. It doesn't tarnish on earth. It's interesting where, you know, God even puts it in heaven. It just doesn't, spoil. I don't, you know, it's an interesting element. So, and I always say gold, but when I'm talking about gold, I mean silver and other items. We've got a couple of interesting upcoming opportunities. I can't fully commit yet. Well, I'll put it this way. Over the years, Coins Plus has been in, we've done a lot of business. I mean, a lot of business. And over the years, there's a lot of things that we've bought and hoarded. And there are things that we get to, and I've been trying to do some of this here and there. And one of those is called their Cameo Proof Coins. So what happens is, like, say, for example, just, I don't care, Franklin half dollars were made from 1948 to 1963. So what happens is we've got some of these ultra deep proof cameo coins. Now, when you get into modern coinage, minted after about 99 or 2000, they're all perfect. They're all computerized. They're perfect. But when you get back into the 50s and 60s, it wasn't like that at all. They didn't have any of that. Everything was hand-carved, hand-managed, hand-struck, hand-dies, you know, all that. And so you get what's called, when you first prepare the die, I don't want to go over everybody's head. Okay, a coin is made up of a planchet. Okay, that's the piece of metal that's going to become the coin. And then, of course, the die. You have an obverse and reverse die. That means front and back. And that die is going to strike the coin, the planchet, into a coin. And then, and so what happens is, when you first prepare proof dies, okay, now there's the difference between a proof and a mint state coin. A mint state or business strike is a coin that's meant to circulate. And you just print them. You just print them and print them and print them and print them. And you just let the die do whatever it does. And then as the metal moves across the die, it ultimately creates microscopic erosion channels, which creates what's called mint luster. That's where you get the shine and the sheen and that in a brand new coin. Proof coins, on the other hand, are different. Proof coins, you specially prepare the die. And so what happens with a proof coin is they'll come in and they'll polish the die until it's like a mirror. I take that back. See, I screwed up. I'll back up a notch. Well, that's what they do now. But what they used to do is they will specially prepare the die by chemically etching the die. Now they chemically etch. Okay, what we're trying to get at here, without confusing you, is this black and white cameo contrast of proof coins. So what they used to do is sandblast the die with a real high, you know, a real low grit sand, like a 1200. And they would sandblast the die, and that would make the whole die just frosty white. And then they'd come in with a special kind of polish rouge, and they'd polish the die. They polish the high points of the die, which become the low points of the coin. And what you end up with is a contrast between frosty white high points on the coin when they strike it and mirrored fields after they strike it. Because of the great pressure, the frosty white on the high points disappears within a few dozen coins. The die erosion, the metal moving through the die, flowing through the die under great pressure, just smooths that right out. So in the very beginning, when they first strike the first handful of these coins, you get what we call ultra-deep cameo, where at the very first coins off the die, and I mean first, in some cases, maybe 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, whatever, but you're talking out of, you know, many, many tens and sometimes hundreds of thousands of coins. And so they'll sandblast the die. Then they polish the high points, which becomes the low points of the coin, where you'll get mirrored fields, and you'll get this black and white cameo contrast. And then what happens shortly thereafter, like I said, that frosty white high point starts to diminish. So a coin goes from ultra deep cameo, and that's where the coin, the high points are so incredibly frosty white, it's just unbelievable. And the fields are just like mirrors. You can see yourself a mile away. And then as time goes on, very short periods of time, that you start to lose the ultra-deep cameo. You still have a cameo, but the perfect of every square millimeter of that white area, it still doesn't exist. It starts to sort of diminish, okay? And then the mirrors will actually begin to become a little more opaque because the dye flow of the metal. Okay, so I have a hard time not being a little too technical. So the moral of the story is we just got a large batch of coins certified. Now you got to remember that we've saved these coins out of proof sets, hand selected out of literally probably $100 million worth of proof sets at least over the years. And had them professionally certified. Some are like, you know, there's things in there like Franklin half dollars graded proof 69 ultra deep cameo. That means that it's perfect, basically. It's the only reason it's not a 70 is right on the cheek. There's a microscopic little rub where the coin above it might have caused it. I don't know. But we've got a lot of this. We just got in where we have to organize it and get it sorted. This is a one time in my whole life I've ever had this. There's some pretty neat coins in there. And the nice thing about these is over time, there's been enough of them come out that there's a very good handle on what's really rare and what's not. You got to watch a lot of times. That's why you don't go buy these brand new coins every year when they strike a new coin. You don't run out and buy the new, the new Proof 70 or Ultra Deep Cameo 70 stuff that the new, I'm talking like 2018 and stuff. You just don't buy that stuff. I had someone in here the other day talking about how they buy all their coins on Coin Vault on TV. And I think one of my employees said, well, boy, they're very expensive. And he said, yeah, I know. They're like 25% higher. And I kind of stuck my head over the railing and I said, sir, did I hear you say 25% higher? He said, yes. I said, I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but they're much more like 500 to 1,000% higher. The TV shopping channel would love to get their hands on a deal like I just described to you that we just got back that we're going to be organizing and pricing. And there's some really neat special coins in there. They're once in a lifetime, long term, you know, hang on till you die type stuff, because they're not making more Franklin half dollars in Proof 69 Ultra Deep Cameo. It's over. And as an extremely high-volume dealer, you have to understand how many sets I've had to go through proof sets to hand-select some of these coins. These are literally one in a million, literally, if not more. And they're not quite prepared, but if you're interested in something like that, you can just contribute a certain amount of money or say, I want to invest this much money in it. When we get them organized and sorted, we'll hand select the best. We'll just go from the best on down. There, you know, there's some expensive stuff in there. And by expensive, I mean a couple thousand and up. And then there's also, you know, there'll be pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters. Most of them are, you know, the halves are going to be from the 50s and 60s. You know, there's actually proof 1964 Kennedys in proof 69 Ultra Deep Cameo, which may be just going way over your head. But I'm just telling you, they are the most gorgeous coin you've ever seen in your life. Just absolutely unbelievable and pristine. So I guess to keep it simple, I talked to the guys before I came on the air. I said, you know, what do we do on these? Do you want me to talk about them on the show? They said, not yet. Well, I cheated. So basically, if you want to invest in a group of them or whatever, and you want us to hand select you some, we will be working on them over the next week or so. Just call and or send a, I mean, call ahead, but send in a check, commit a certain dollar amount, and we'll get you the best of the best. And my philosophy, folks, is always to treat you the same as I would my mother, my father, my brother, my sister. That's our philosophy, okay? So you never have to worry about it. The other thing, too, is everything we sell is based on wholesale. I mean, we will literally do research, market-wide research, okay? And we will find the lowest price auction or whatever that a similar item sold for. And then we will discount based off of that. So basically our philosophy is we don't, you know, some of these coins are rare and, you know, you don't have the exact price. You have to go do through research vehicles that check auction records and everything else. But we lean towards the lower end because what it is basically we want to sell you something that is wholesale priced. It's easy money for you to liquidate later. If the market goes up, we want you to be guaranteed a profit. We don't, you know, we don't overdo the over maximize things to unreasonable levels. So if you're interested, you can call, talk to Mike or Court or whatever, and just tell them you're interested, you'd like to invest whatever amount, 3,000, 5,000, 10,000, 1,000, 1,500, whatever the dollar amount may be, just tell them. and we will do our best. We'll get the money set aside, or the money. Yeah, we'll get the coins set aside as soon as they're ready. Just thought I'd let you know, because it's a very special once in a lifetime deal. And I know that if I was in your shoes, I'd want them, especially if you're building a portfolio. That's what's really special about this, is this is a one time deal, where I'm just telling people, you know, to, in fact, I'm actually texting the guys right now, so don't freak out. Let's see on air that. And I'll just say that I'm telling you, you can prepay, because when I do this for cameos. Okay, so I got that in case people call in, which they already are. Sorry about that. I just wanted to make sure. Otherwise, the guys won't know what I'm talking about, because I wasn't supposed to open my big mouth yet. It's just special stuff. And basically, you know, you want to have a balanced portfolio. The nice thing is, folks, about what we do and what we deal in is, honestly, it's hard assets. It's just, it's real stuff, okay? And I'll admit, I'm going to tell you, folks, I am a hard asset kind of fanatic. And I've been, now all of a sudden, I think I talked to you that, you know, I've had some real estate. I sold a property last week. That I'm going to have to wait forever to get paid on and go through all kinds of rubbish. And now they require earthquake straps on water tanks and, you know, CO2 testers all over the house and all this stuff. And, or carbon, not CO2, carbon, yeah, monoxide, whatever that is. You know, and all this stuff. And the maintenance has been crazy and the water feature doesn't work and, you know, blah, 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 blah. I mean, real estate's heavy duty. And then I have sports cars, folks, and I mean, you know, I have one sports car that I was driving home one morning very early after doing an all-nighter painting this house that we're discussing. Four of us stayed till 6 in the morning painting, because everything takes longer than you'd ever expect. And on the way home, I got cut off, and I kind of had to swerve up onto a curb. And then I ruined the wheel of this very expensive, nice sports car. And so I've had to pay for that. And I had, you know, I had another guy run into the side of my SUV a couple months ago. And, you know, I guess it's just the price of stuff, right? The cares of the world, as they might call it. And so, you know, the weird thing is, God's been moving in my heart so heavily. A lot of this, anything that requires maintenance is starting to really bother me. I mean, I just, you know, I've had to change the pump from our river. We live on the river, and we pump all of our irrigation water from the river, which, you know, the pump went bad because a guy a couple of years ago that didn't know what he was doing moved it and put it in upside down in the dirt, and, you know, and so anyway, I apologize, but what I'm just trying to make the point that, you know, hard assets are good, but real estate is very expensive. Collector cars are very expensive. Livestock, I won't even get into that. I grew up Montana, folks. I know all about cattle ranch. Don't you ever think that raising any kind of livestock is easy. It is unbelievable to me that at the end of the year, how small of a profit is made on a cattle ranch. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. We have friends that have thousands of head of cattle. And, you know, at the end of the year, they might be selling for $800 to $1,000 apiece. Well, you think, well, that's a lot of money. Well, you don't see what they spend on employees and food and feed for these animals. It is unbelievable. It is just unbelievable. And they have years, and then they calve in the middle of the winter. And so you got, you know, the Bible says gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones, human life. You know, that's where you have people working for you. And then you have to deal with moods and personalities. And so many friends of mine that have businesses, you know, you try to become personally engrossed in the people's lives. You want to be a good person, but you inevitably will get a person who's got a really sour attitude, and it's hard to deal with, and it can really kill the environment. And, you know, and then of course, precious stones, you got to be an expert. We have bags of those, which we're dealing with right now. But to simplify, to blow all that off, folks, in gold and silver and precious metals and hard asset coins, it's simple. There's no taxes. There's no 1099s. There's no reporting. There's no title. There's no reporting. Did you hear that? There's no reporting. There's no reporting. There's no reporting. If you go to the bank and you try to pull out cash and they give you any harassment, it's none of their business. I mentioned recently being out at the Post Falls branch on a Saturday with a customer out of or a person out of Wallace, a teacher who wanted to buy my ATV, and she was pulling out $8,000 cash. And the teller, you literally would have thought that she was, you know, robbing the bank. I mean, it was unbelievable. It wasn't right. It's her money. And I said to the lady, did you treat her like this when she deposited the money? No. And it's just, you know, when you own precious metals, folks, when you walk in here, the amount of time it took us to get 8,000 cash out of Wells Fargo, out of her account, was literally five times the amount of time it would take to sell the same amount of gold or silver here. And that was a direct withdrawal from the bank. And I'm not kidding you. And it was signatures and second signatures. What I don't understand is, these banks deal in tremendous amounts of money. Why would they act like $8,000 is a lot of money? I just don't get it. I mean, my business, yeah, I'll admit we deal in millions of dollars, and not individually, but it's gold, it's silver, it's precious metals. We do 401ks and IRAs. I've spoken lately, folks, about what's coming and about where we're at, you know, and one thing that's really sad, this Bill Maher, who, if you know who Bill Maher is, he's just this vile, filthy, wretched talk show host on TV who, you know, he's terrible. And he was telling people basically to hope for an economic collapse to get rid of Trump. He said, without an economic collapse, we will not get rid of him. And he told people that if they want to get rid of Trump, they've got to do this. Folks, why can't they just accept Trump? What's wrong with him? I heard CNN, you know, call all the women in his family every name under the sun. I mean, folks, this is not right. These are very difficult times. And these times, I believe, personally, were, I believe they were begun by Obama. That's my personal belief. I believe that he used the Saul Alinsky rules for radicals. I believe that we're in the end times, prophetically. We don't know when. The Bible tells us about the earth's final events as the end of days or the appointed time of the end. And several Bible authors write about this period of time because the end of sin will be marked by a complete spiritual and physical reconfiguration of the earth. And I say a lot of signs of this are already here, okay? We got first, I think it's 1 Timothy 3, right, where it seems pretty clear to me that we've definitely got our hands around a lot of these activities. And you look at this and you're like, okay, when I read about 1 Timothy 3 or 2 Timothy 3 or whatever it is, which most of the stuff I have, you know, committed to memory. I think it's 2 Timothy 3. But basically, you know, there's this laundry list of what people are going to be like. In the last days, difficult times will come. Now, difficult means in the Greek, means trying, means stressful. It means pressure. It means extreme. It's kalepos. And it means very hard to do, very hard to approach, hard to bear, troublesome, dangerous, harsh, fierce, savage. Okay. Now, you know how we're seeing these savage, this Antifa and all this stuff, folks? I mean, it's going to get worse. It really is. But we are there. We are in somewhere in the bullseye range of the end times. We don't know where. We don't know God's timing. We know God is very forbearing and forgiving, and we know that, okay? But and to me, it's like, fine, we know that. We can see it. He goes on, and when he describes this stuff, it's hard to know as this accelerated, but I will say that when I became a believer in 85 and I was reading this word, when I used to read this, I thought, wow, those are going to be tough times. Now when I read this, I'm like, well, that's a lot like it is now. For men will be lovers of self. I remember when they had Self magazine, and it was like a big deal about how self-centered it was, and it's not good to be self-centered. It said they were lovers of money. You know, we got Money magazine and everything else, and people, the love of money. You know, you look at Floyd Mayweather, who fought Conor McGregor, and they call him, what do they call him? I can't remember. Something to do with the money, you know, and that's what he's all about. He's all about the money, 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 money. It says they'll become boastful, arrogant, revelers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. And a lot of that, folks, comes from the system allowing it. Teachers can't say what's right or wrong. Parents are being taught to raise their children wrong. The millennials are becoming very harsh, rude, angry, mean. And in some cases, they don't even know it. They don't know that they need to make an effort outside themselves to make things okay. They just don't understand that it's up to them to make things okay. It says that they will be boastful, arrogant, revelers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. And folks, ungrateful is something I see. That's one that I see as being critical, is to not really appreciate what you have and what God's doing for you and what other people are doing for you. Unloving. You know, and we have to remember what that means. What does God say love is? Patient and kind, right? Love is not jealous or boastful. It's not arrogant or rude. And so it's basically, it's telling us that people will very much be the opposite. You know, that it says love is patient, love is kind, and it is not jealous. Love does not brag, and it's not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. This is something we all need to pray about. We need to pray for oblivion, that when people are slinging and hurling rudeness at us or they're oversensitive, we need to ignore it, okay? We need to overcome it and oversee it, which is tough, right? That's tough, right? But we got to do it. That's a hard thing to do. So we have to ignore. We don't keep a record of wrongs, as it says. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. It's not happy when people do bad things. It rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, and endures all things. Love bears all things, think about it. It tolerates a lot. It believes all things. When I had an issue with an employee theft, I just trusted God. It's his business. If God thinks I can afford it, then fine. It's up to God. But at the same time, God did protect me, and for a period of time, the person that was stealing was also generating a tremendous amount of income. And then eventually that changed, and And God made it crystal clear. It was really kind of sad because he'd been around 15 years and he had so much talent. It was really sad. But you have to believe all things. You can't be the spouse. If your spouse has blown it and they struggle with stuff, you got to keep believing them. If they're going to let you down, they're going to let you down. But to be greedy or jealous or envious or paranoid, none of that makes you a better person. All of that just makes it impossible for you to ever have a healthy relationship. So, it hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And then he goes on and on and on. Love is powerful stuff. So we need to realize that at the end times, love will die. Like a candle that burns out and the restrainer will be lifted. It's not the most frightening part of the Bible prophecy isn't coming disaster. It's the religious and political response that comes forth. The Bible predicts the world's religions and political leaders will unite and hastily create a worldwide one world religion or organization to appease the wrath of an angry God. The Bible predicts that crisis organization will suddenly rise up and begin and will be given authority over all nations without firing a single shot, which is no fairy tale and is, you know, it's not a reality check. These events are predicted in God's word. We know now what we'll soon face. God has informed us of his actions so that we'll not lose faith in him. He says, I've told you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you'll believe. And he did that in John 14:29. So the prophecy goes on and on this way. And so we just have to be prepared. We've got to prepare ourselves. So we've got people that want to see a collapse in the economy in order to get Trump out. The hatred towards Trump is tremendous. Trump was a little bit of a harsh candidate, obviously, but elections are tough. Trump told the truth. He stayed clean. The left does not want to put this Russia collusion thing to bed. Bob Mueller, who's running the investigation, who some originally said was, you know, fair and just, is not fair and just whatsoever. He seems to be reckless and just dangerous, Lord. He's really trying to shake the tree and shake the cupboards and shake the refrigerator and, you know, burn the house down just to get any information. And I can assure you, if there was dirt on Trump, they'd have had it by now, from my understanding, the way they've turned everything upside down. So we had Bill Maher come out today, who's just as vile as they come. The dollars, you know, are, well, silver dollars, folks, are, I guess, let's keep it simple. If you want to just invest, what I like is double-edged sword, okay? I like bullion-based products, semi-numismatic, that has upside based on rarity. I have watched coins settle down to extremely reasonable prices, uncirculated rolls of peace dollars. That's 20 coins. They're original old B rolls. I mean, you think about it, coins that are 100 and some years old, you can get uncirculated rolls in the 500 and some dollar range, I think. Roughly, for 20 coins. The old pre-1921s, the coins from the 1800s in basically borderline and uncirculated condition run, you know, roughly 800 a roll for 20 coins. These prices are too cheap. So simple enough to simplify it, get yourself some. I don't care if it's $5 or $10,000. I like $10,000 in a whack if you're trying to get a deal going. A lot of people ask, what do we do for portfolios? It has a lot to do with what you already have and what your goals are and, you know, and how much you're bringing in. But it's what we do. So let me get to just saying that now is the time for IRA and 401k rollovers. It just is. And just stick to what God says. Folks, I can spend more time on the Bible and what he said, but it's very clear I've done it in the past. Just stick to what he said. Avoid the paper. It's overinflated. Yeah, it might go up a little more, but it doesn't seem to want to. It oscillates all over the place. And you just buy what he says to buy. You build wealth and value brick by brick by brick by brick. And that's what people do. I mean, we've got a ton of wise customers that have been there, done that. I've got so many customers that have owned huge quantities of real estate, huge quantities of all kinds of assets. And when they are ready, oh, they're ready. And they love the metals because the privacy and anonymity of it all. They're just tired of it. Or their broker keeps saying, well, let's try this fund. Let's try that fund. Let's try this fund. And every time, what? Fail, 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 right? It's not good. So when we compare the stocks to, you know, precious metals in the last 40 and even 50 years and 200 years, we've got, we've got huge, basically the growth of metals and metals-based assets has far out performed all of these other things, and especially funds. When you own precious metals, why would God do what he did? Why would he make a system that's so stringent that when man's system begins to change, God's system does not? Now think about it. We're so smart. We create fiat currency. That's where one man or one group of men say, we're going to create all your money for you and you're going to trade in everything that is biblically sound. Okay. And we buy into it, and we go, ooh, great idea, right? Foolishness, right? So the point is, God gives us peace of mind, security and peace of mind with precious metals assets. You don't have to worry about, folks, don't forget, time and time and time and time again, the market crashes, okay? It's a fact. It's a fact. It's not refutable. It's not debatable. It is going to happen. And if you look at historical charts of the, like, even the Dow Index, which is, wow, manipulated. If you look at the historical charts of things like that, they're essentially up, and then they're down, and then they're up, and then they're down, and then they're up, and then they're down. And then we get a crash and a correction. I feel bad for Trump. I think he's foolish tying the performance of the Dow to his reign, because I personally think that all they have to do is manipulate it hard right before the election and they make him look bad, right? So I would say foolishness on his part. That's just me. I say fool, fool, fool. You know, we go look at different recessions. I'm looking here on graph by year, by Fed, by, you know, everything. And the market's correct. They correct over and over and over and over. And they always end up in the same spots. We get these great peaks. Everybody's on board. Everybody just finally says, look, I can't do this anymore. Obviously, this is going to go forever. They get their money in there, and they take it in the tail. When you get your money in God's hard assets, if you just want to save, it's there. If you just want to put it away and pull a little bit out every month, it's there. We can do anything anybody else can do. I will say that I would deter you from wanting to have Bitcoin in my 401k. I don't, because you can't. you know, get at it, and you can't really change it easily without a lot of work and energy and things like that. So true wealth building, when we buy precious metals-based assets, we literally are building true wealth, okay? It's real capital preservation. It comes from the ground. God put it there. It's an element. It is real true wealth. Just please understand this. This is real capital preservation. This is real assets. This is no air fluff pie in the sky. You're not betting on speculation. Folks, you know what? The stock market is exactly like Vegas. What happens in Vegas is you go there and you give them your money, right? And they give you these dumb little plastic chips. Then what do? You've already given them your money. Now you fight to get your money back, right? And then hope you'll make a little extra profit, which you don't because they're not set up that way. That's how they build $39 billion complexes called City Center in the middle of Vegas, in the middle of the parched desert, because people don't win, okay? So essentially, that's what you're doing with the stock market. You're giving them your money, and you're saying, Lord, please. You're saying, come on, man, see if you can do something with it. See if you can do something with it. I guarantee you 95% of the people that are in that racket that have tried to follow it have gotten out because they know that the broker's doing them absolutely no good. They just want to sell a product and collect a commission. And then they have stuff that they call conservative. And I have two older gals that I've talked to lately that are taking it in the tail this year on their supposed conservative stuff that's not supposed to go down. What they really are is hedge funds, and people need to know how to play hedge funds and move them around and move them back and forth in order to justify this kind of expenditure. Precious metals give you reprieve from artificially low interest rates, and we have to keep our rates low or we will blow sky high. We have got a debt bubble like you cannot fathom. I mean, can you imagine college students? $1 trillion, folks, $1 trillion in student loan debt, $1 trillion. I think that's a problem. Just me. This is where we're at. So what is that going to do? You know what's going to happen? These kids are going to get it all off. Why was Obama? Remember how crazy you went? When Obama wanted to waive all the debt for all the people that were struggling on their mortgages. But those of us who paid our bills and fought and worked hard, no, punish us. He just wanted to reward those who'd gone in arrears. Now, granted, there's always a small percentage that have real issues. But there's a lot of people that learn when the free handouts keep coming. And so, you know, we've got to just keep our stuff in wise, solid, firm assets. So it gives you a reprieve from low interest rates, a way to profit on low interest rates. It gives you an escape from the continuous currency debacle where there's frustration all over the place. And Carrie, you know, my wife, I won't even get into some of her stuff there, but you know, with the trade and the changes in currency exchange and how it affects the prices of things when she shops, she's kind of explained it to me. Precious metals give you true investment and financial growth. They give you solid financial growth, and that's all that really matters. So they give you an escape from the currency debacle. They protect you from unintentionally engineered theft of purchasing power, leading people to demand help from the government to do something. So John Maynard Keynes made it crystal clear. Our system is designed to confiscate your spending power. You don't think so? We've lost, I keep saying, 99.5% of the spending power of the dollar since the creation of the Federal Reserve. We've lost about 80% of that, 85% since the deregulation in 71. We've lost probably an easy, the same amount, maybe 75% since 9/11. Our dollar buying power is going down. You better be getting raises, and you know you're not, and life's tougher. And people live on credit, and they live on debt, and it's not good. And so when you get this protection from the intentionally engineered theft, which is the Keynesian economic system, you have a guaranteed, you know, there's a problem, reaction, solution. They call it thesis, antithesis, synthesis. This is called Hegelian dialectic. This is what Hitler thrived on. Problem, reaction, solution. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. The government comes in, says, here's a problem, tells you about it. Look, when Obama got in office, they pull back the veil, show you the problem. They say, here's the solution. Well, they basically say, here's the problem. Here's how we're going to, you know, react. And we've got to attack and separate and divide. And then here's the solution. Well, the solution was Hank Paulson's reckless behavior from Goldman Sachs, put in charge of the Fed or the Treasury. Absolute, ridiculous, unbelievable farce, to put it lightly, folks. So what you get is a guaranteed twofold wealth gain. You get the growth in value of the precious metals. You get a protection against the dropping dollar. That's one thing that precious metals have done for you, as everybody else has literally lost, you know, 20 to 30% of its spending power minimum. That's what happens when you own a business and you're not around. I'm well aware of it. So you get a twofold wealth gain. You get growth in value based on the metals. And you get protection against the dropping dollar. You get an increase in net worth, folks, that's relative to others when they're losing on paper. The establishment hates it and always will. Imagine their experiences. You get ever-growing acceptance and popularity of metals and escape from a lack of alternatives. There are no good alternatives of where to put your money. But when I say up here that you gain an increase in net worth relative to others who are losing on paper. When the market's correct and you have metals, I mean, folks, I made some buys on real estate back in 08, 09 that are, you know, amazing. Nothing like I should have. Stuff that I was looking at and I tied my money up too quick and stuff. I didn't quite wait long enough. But the bottom line is when the market's correct and you have metals, you're set. You are set. I mean, you know, you got to realize metals love, they maintain true wealth. So inflation is good for them. Deflation, good for them. Economic crisis, good for them. Or they perform well, I should say. Warfare, welfare, you know, all of it. It drives the value of the stuff up and it maintains spending power. So keep yourself prepared. Keep yourself balanced. Don't overthink it. Don't be silly. Don't be stupid. Just, you know, get yourself a portfolio. We'll build you one, put it away. It's good stuff. And granted, we'll see another big surge. I mean, what's just happened with Trump, folks, the scariest thing of all, Trump, number one, has got to get reelected. Number two, you know, granted, Obama just divided this country using the Saul Alinsky and Cloward and Piven tactics. Unbelievable. And then Trump comes in. He's a strong arm. I mean, strong as a bull. But now, you know, what do you do then? I mean, what do you do then? Now the people are going to be arming up. They're afraid of him. They're going to kowtow to him. Kim Jong-un, who wants to do this summit, I have no doubt he has no desire to become to give up his nuclear weaponry. He wants to be one of the boys. He wants to be showered with billions and billions of dollars into his country, which will fully benefit him because he's an absolute tyrannical dictator. All that money ends up in his hands. We had that, what was his name, Alan Warnbeer or whatever that came over, who was in a coma from horrendous treatment, terrible torture. These people are barbarians, and Kim Jong-un is a barbarian. They believe that they're deities, but a weird kind of deity, because a deity without love whatsoever. They convince themselves they're good people. So be careful. And you know, folks, if you're buying stuff, we still offer the highest rated privately held depository service in the Western United States. It's there. It's been there. You know, where we've been in business 20-some years. The building's built from the ground up with levels of security like no other. I'll admit that I think there's a building downtown, maybe Washington Trust or Mutual or whatever, that has a heck of a vault system underground that's superior to ours. But the problem is they don't have cameras in the vault room. So you could literally go in there with a crowbar. They don't check you out. You could pop boxes all day long and just act like you're buying an estate. I've been in there buying estates. So, we've got a dropping dollar issue and eventual collapse. Sorry, but fact. Okay. We've got another lending bubble. You can call it a mortgage bubble or a commercial real estate bubble or student loan bubble or whatever, beginning in the early 90s under Clinton, which just keeps growing and growing. It fuels everything from then until the collapse of 9/11, which was so opportunely timed it wasn't funny. The 90s are remembered for the dot-com casino stock market crash techno bubble that it just could not sustain itself whatsoever. And we're back there again, I guess, and I'll just leave it at that. Without getting too crazy, you know, I see it simple. I see perfect timing. I see a lot of world tension and pressure. I've been saying this a while. You know, when you use, you know, might does make right, but when you use that amount of pressure to keep people in check, how long does it last? Okay. How long does it really last? And each time our government makes a move to hold things together, you know, eventually we'll lose our grip. It's just like the 9/11 thing. It just takes one day, one mistake. There are so many different things that are participating. Folks, quick end. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. God bless. Give us a call. Love you. Bye-bye.